At this time, we do public comment, and for everybody in the crowd, which I'm thankful you're here. We kind of run things different. We allow people to ask questions at any time during the presentation. You can do public comment now. Take your comments or whatever you want on the record now, but I know you're here for broadband stuff, and when we get to that, if you have comments, please. We're going to leave out at all times. That's kind of how we always are. It's you guys that we want to hear from. So at this time, want to public comment? I mean, please step to the mic if you want to. Introduce yourself so it's on the record.
Mike Slide, Crisio.
Yep.
Yeah. I got 4 minutes of reading. My work's Greg Gardner. You good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. My name's Greg Gardner. So, and I'll just go ahead and read my statement. So, I grew up on cattle ranches up at Tenasket. The teenager, the providers up there did more than just connect our house. They taught me what the internet actually was, latency, bandwidth, routing, the entire world beneath the surface. They were my conduit to that world. That kid went on to work at a network software and systems engineer at Boeing and Microsoft. When I came home, I grew my business into one of the largest managed service providers in the region. That was possible in part because of what the district had built, infrastructure that allowed multiple providers to compete on price and service. I was proud to grow up in a place that made that possible. My family could never have afforded fiber. A subsidized drop would not have solved that. Those programs cover standard connection, not miles in our rural driveway. For families like mine, fiber was never really on the table. Growing up around the branching taught me something about self-reliance. When something is essential, you maintain it. You do not wait until it fails and becomes dependent on whoever is left. This program gives us infrastructure we own or provides the providers rooted here and control over something rural families depend on. That is local self-reliance. The district helped found NOAAnet, build a backbone, and took real financial risks to create a rural market that was genuine competition. You did not inherit this program by accident. It is a legacy, not a liability. Roughly 62% of the county lives outside of an incorporated town. Those residents are generally older, lower income, and less likely to have practical wire alternatives. This program helps stabilize broadband prices for the rural majority you represent. It gives providers a platform to compete. It gives rural customers local price anchor. I have sent you a brief built of the district's own records. These records show a telecom position of about $10 million and an $808,000 surplus for 2024. Canceled upgrade of costing about $1.2 million. The money was there, the investment was not. This is the choice. The decline deserves a closer look. Starlink arrived in 2021. NTI had already offered faster service for years, yet the district's program continued growing. Then the district cut reinvestment while subscribers were still near the peak. Customers began leaving roughly 18 months later. Competition was already there. Investment fell first, customers followed. More than half of the recent losses came from NTI. That familiar local name is now being retired and joining Core Fiber Partners, an out-of-area investor-owned platform. The evidence in your hand shows this is not a healthy competitive market. For much of rural Maumee County, UD steps back, the practical market narrows to one outside provider and satellite service. That is not a meaningful amount of this. It's exactly the kind of market this open access program is built to stabilize. Without rural customers face fewer choices and less protection from outside pricing. The district's own wholesale infrastructure, the providers connect the homes and see the customers every day. They know why people leave and what would bring them back. They are the district's customers, but they were not asked. Several years to explain what they're prepared to commit and how they can compete. You cannot ask customers to return before you decide to invest. Wait, he guarantees decline, he claims the fear. I am asking you to place this decision back on the agenda, conduct a genuine market review with providers and their customers, then bring back a phased modernization plan. The question is not whether fixed wireless is perfect, it is whether the county is better off with locally owned open access platform that protects competition and stabilizes prices, or without one. Stepping back is easier for the district, but it may not be better for the county. I came home proud of what the county had built. This program was the conduit to serious kid for cattle ranch led to Nascus for Boeing, Microsoft, and home again. Please do not pull those water out in the next kid.
Thank you. Thank you.
Gail?
Jane Quilder. So I own Highland Internet out of Port Washington. At one time we had well over 1,200 customers. We're still down between 1,000 and 1,100, but people depend on us. If they go away, if we go away, the PUD does not help us out with this, they're going to have to find service elsewhere. If that happens, the revenue that will leave the county will be 100%. I have 3 full-time employees plus myself. We depend on this. And we'll do everything in our powers to build this back up again. We just need to be competitive. That's what we're at. Help out. Help the PUD build this back up. And I sent some information, and you're going to get more information, and we want to get possibly off socket for the next one so we can assess everything that we could.
Are most of your customers off of Eater?
I'm from Orville all the way to Swiss, but yeah.
Oh.
But Eater, quite a few.
I mean, in one of our larger ones, that's why I'm asking this.
Okay, spread off through the whole valley. Thank you.
Good.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Cody Grunland, and I own WillConnect. I understand that the future of wireless is not on today's agenda, and I'm asking for a public comment because I believe it deserves the public discussion before the system falls further behind. Starlink is a full option, but it's not a replacement for locally controlled networks that support multiple local providers. If the PUD modernizes system, the wireless system with a faster baseline speeds, I will guarantee that WillConnect matches Starlink's price for comparable residential service while also providing local installation support and someone who is accountable when service isn't working. Competition isn't new, and the PUD wireless system continued growing while competing with faster services from NTI and reached its highest spectrum level faster Starlink was already available. The Mayport letter says improvement could be reconsidered if enrollment supports the cost. We're not rejecting that requirement. We're asking for a clear way to meet it. I'm asking that the wireless be placed on future agendas so that the board can publicly consider a replacement plan with clear costs, performance goals, enrollment targets, and a real opportunity for providers and residents.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you hearing them okay, Warren?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Near folks perfectly.
Okay. Anybody else? Do you want to have general, do we want to discuss now? I mean.
Yeah. And what it, yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I just.
I'd rather, let's just do it now. What yeah. Everybody.
We'll just discuss this portion of it. I mean, we have other wireless things on the not wireless fiber backbone contracting stuff, but yeah. So this decision was not made overnight. The information that was placed in front of me, I started as general manager in October, already knowing the decline was going on. A lot to get my hands around besides wireless, so I was not up to speed until probably this early this spring, like January, February. Ron started talking about wanting to do a wireless upgrade and a backbone upgrade that were not budgeted for 2026. I'm like, we can't do that. Not a budgeted item. We're not doing it. The backbone upgrade needed to happen to support all the BEAD money that's going on in the county. Those are same services to open out the revenue coming in from those services were big. We went out and looked for grant money for that, and that's what we're here to talk about today. The wireless section with another $1 million to make a decision on. And when I looked at the BEAD money overlay, we spent a huge amount of staff time to go out and get BEAD money for the, yeah, I'd guess north of 300 staff hours to try to get BEAD done. I wish, I really apologize. Tim, if you have a quick answer to that, that'd be great. John and Ron are not here. I apologize. I'm honored to be here. Yeah.
No, I understand. Yeah. We're just trying to, that's why I wanted to just talk about some of
the. My understanding with the BEAD money was it was fiber and then turned wireless after they were awarded or right as they were being awarded.
So I believe it was round one that WireOff wasn't an option, and they put out round two, and I believe they rescinded round two and gave the option to do it again. There was some internal discussions on if you wireless, pick a fiber. We already so much invested on fiber that we thought fiber was a better option. Washington was kind of so if he's not a wireless, so Washington and other states had. There was a lot larger fiber footprints in those other states than I was in Washington. There's a pretty, I think it was Any other the provider here that got the most of these 300? We got 300 million, and a good portion of that is for wire. I think we were all surprised to see fiber or wire.
Did we get enough fiber though?
No, we supply through. We buy the wire. All right.
So when I spoke with your car on top, who wants your fiber still? You already knew the cost is going to be overwhelming, and who weren't going to be able to go out. So you that was going to have a weird calling.
I wasn't directly doing the applications, but what was weird on the application side is they were still encouraging to go forward. They did set a ceiling that could this happen when it was 6,000, but then they said, go ahead and do it again and sharpen your pencils a little bit. So it was looked at as more of a guidance than a hard limit to mine. So we were all surprised to see so much wireless come through. Yeah, you know, now when they're talking about it, we look at that. He mentioned the overlay, then you go to there. They have a new map that shows you can click on the provider and show this exact.
So mean that I need you guys and Kendall or Sean upstairs that, hey, filters numbers dropped it, go into each location to drop fiber at that location. The PD was not going to be able to, they're trying to get it down harder, that they were thousands and thousands of dollars, way more expensive than anybody that applied for that. So that's when we were in cabinets to fetch me, we were going to over, and I was told that the PD never wanted to build another fiber or wireless back go up again, that they were down to, and that we could never get more.
I'll speak up to that. The telecom department is all for wireless, including Tim, John, that it
got brought to us. Like that.
It was upper management's decision, and they were not happy about it.
When we were talking about the use stuff, we said wireless as an idea. We had just already had so much invested in the engineering process, we didn't think there was going to be enough time to then re-engineer the whole thing for wireless and then make that turn. I'm, like Greg says, we're wireless. I've been doing wireless since 20 years. I've been climbing towers since then. Well, it's all I've done. I'm all for wireless, but it.
So, my background, I've been here since I was 2 years old in Oakland County. I've been at the PUD 31 years. I live off a wireless system that I barely get 30 megs off. It's just a simple NCI tower that's up in the middle of nowhere up Salmon Creek. I would love to have fast wireless at my house. I'll never get fiber at my house, ever. Wireless is the only way I'm going to have service, but I doubt I'm ever going to get it.
Is there a reason that it wasn't brought to stating it in phases to roll out wireless? We started with certain towers. It kind of like Kruba concept, and it'd be a lot cheaper. Instead of just going a full 1.2 million, it was dropping that and going into debt.
We've had these discussions. I know that Randy and I have talked about it, and I've talked to Bill about it some, and we've talked about...
We've had lots of discussions.
Jackass, maybe either some of the heavily trafficked ones.
Well, because the Toronto here can just create wide.
Yeah.
You got some for insane. You guys
put that out on the... I saw that on the site, the map there you're talking about, and that one. Yeah, I was 90 and goes that one. You were right, got 140-ish.
Pretty good. Yeah.
We did talk. I mean, I made that first sheet, the one that says updated is 311, I think. When I put that one together, it was kind of staged as a segmented approach showing each site and then, you know, hey, you take them one as a fluffy item. I think the discussion came up because it was more in an effort to help you guys be as edited as possible, like giving more options out there. So doing getting the approval to do a bunch of them at the same time. That was kind of the goal for that one. But it's been approached a couple.
Which that makes complete sense too, to just yeah, because Bethesda would take a long time and everything. So even if we, you know, half a year for a year was just more on hold to get a whole system in it. We did one of them. And then other people accounted 15. Wow, look at this amazing system. And then it would almost be a self-advertisement. We would target people, well, you're really anticipating you to not be on tower, and they were going to have another five years here. We're running into right now is that we need backbone update done first. A lot of the sites, when they feed down right now, they don't have a good 10 gig option going up to the tower. So we'll need to run a 10 gig link up to the tower to save for those higher packets. These are dropping there. Because if they're all fed on 1 gig right now, and a lot of them feed down into sites that still only have 1 gig. So we're trying to get that part done. Fortunately, at Jack and SU, we had the option to come down to the armory site and we could just scale off. So we just did a fiber run all the way to the tower. But that isn't functional or practical at all at sites. That was one of the problems. So it kind of jumped in. So you got lumped into one project that we need to just back from the create and the wire.
What was the deal with the Toronto gear? Excuse me for... Wasn't there something about the channels and stuff? Is it not unregulated?
Yeah, so, so we were looking at the 6 gigahertz stuff. And so right now, the wireless gear that we use is on 5 gigahertz. 6 gig is relatively unused. There's a couple of things that you see on the pop-up, but it's got a ASDs, however you're using. I can't remember what ASD stands for. Allies Federation jacket. Something along those lines. But it has... It bounces around channels. Like after, I think it's 48 hours, it'll ship another set of channels. But all the scans we just showed, they were, it was pretty clean out there. But yeah, it uses an unused one. We could also use 5 gigahertz of this, go into the existing stuff we have. And even with channels, we're running into the issue where on site, to get more speed out of our existing stuff, we need to widen channel widths a little bit, but we're running into, we don't have all our room. There is some we can go into, but the other channel to go into, if they stick interference, they'll jump off that site. Problematic. Yeah.
One of my biggest issues with this whole thing that I'm trying to get my arms around is building a business case, a good solid business case. When we don't know how many we're going to be able to keep or how many we're going to lose or what NCI is going to do when they put all their platform out, for me to be responsible with the district funds or the ratepayers of the district, we have to have some kind of business case. And I looked through all your emails.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say in general, but you know, that's a start. So, but there is a bigger issue for me personally, and it's that the counties built the stabilized rings. So I understand thinking like a business, good thing to do, but this is a public utility district. So, and there's limits to that. We got number of good occurrence. I'm not here to say this, you know, we could have done it. The numbers I have, I'm not on North TV. So I just face up what I've got. It's a starting point. But yeah, but as a public, we're supposed to be stabilizing rates. And that's my biggest concern. I'm terrified of a situation where we have a global company. Just, if Charlotte goes down for the whole planet, right? That's a single point of failure. Not a problem now. You know, everything's cooking along great. It's fine. But once we lose these guys, and once they're gone, we'll never get back. And the cost of rebuilding this system is astronomical, and it's only going to get more expensive. This is a tremendously pioneering thing that was done for Pelionis, Fisher County.
What if I put $1 million into it and we keep losing customers?
So this is my point. So like Pickens, like $118,000, something like that, do one tower. Like the trajectory is all that matters here. This is not about the one thing. The trajectory is just a bit more.
Put it out there and hope they stay.
So, well, that's kind of a mandate of easy. We're supposed to be trying to stay alive. Rick, how are we going to get stayed if we don't try? Or hurt money from a marketing study, but that's even more expensive. I'd rather just see people do it. And they're like, it seems like they could probably grow business off that tower. And we're seeing, because I did a bunch of like Monte Carlo simulations, a whole bunch of market analysis. And some of the ones I came up with, especially if you split race up, we were on like 3.6 years stand up. You know, that's probably not going to happen, but that was one possibility.
Does that include any O&M?
So, yeah, and I don't have all the variables, so we'd have to look at it. But, I was actually coming out, when we were in the meeting, I think John said that some of them would get paid back, like some of the popular towers, like Eater, like in 3 years or something. I was coming out more than that. So I think mine were more pessimistic than the near notices were.
And we've all had to participate, I mean, since day one, to start it.
Since day one, the game has changed.
Oh, yeah. No, things are different now. But I would also argue that means the TUD is needed now more than ever. So that's kind of one of the considerations, too. So. Yeah, we just want to teach trajectory. That's the biggest thing. If we can make some small work, we can build on that. We don't have to go so big at first. And that also shows the other players that we're here. We're not going anywhere. Like NCI and like Sterling and everybody else, they see that the UD is investing, they're working, and that keeps them accountable. Even if they see you put in one tower, we're like, oh man, what if they put in all the towers? I'm not going to be able to jack up rates here so easily. And that starts keeping people accountable. And that's the whole point.
Can I ask you, maybe all you guys can answer really? What do we currently charge them? 25?
For what?
For the service.
There's all different rates.
Okay. I mean, if we charge, 47.
So we charge for a wireless pack is 20?
Why is where you make you guys that, where you make money? Because the other
$40 one really hits home. If you think of Starlink currently is $85 for 200 megabits. And the kitchen there was charging us $40 for 250 megabits. So, I mean,
we charge you 40, but then you charge the customer.
Before we done higher, and stay with you back in the seat and lower cost, I mean, Starlink has for their second tier package. So, the only thing, and I didn't expect us to have a conversation there. I mostly was just hoping we can get.
So,
on future agenda, because I thought it'd be really great to. start talking about this and kind of acting it out. Like Randy said, how do we know we're going to get these people back? Well, the easiest way to know is we're going to have the ones here or not. So we're absolutely getting those. And then the ones that leave, they're leaving through the spoon's feet, you know.
Not by service, not by...
Everyone I know that has Starlink in their home right now has a $55 100 meg kit. They're not finding that.
Yeah, but if they're going to sell 250 megs, $40. And we have a three selling 12 and 20. That's what we can sell now. But if you got rid of all those, it had a 500, 150, and a 250. So we could sell the 100 meg for 50 bucks, yes.
It's still going to be $40. It's going to... What do you think the PUD price is going to be on that?
What if what you charge a towel for... For our cell net.
It's not going to be that cheap. That's the
one you favorite. That's the one I wanted to point out as well, Randy, is we can
get sales on higher tier packages to compensate for that 40. So say if we did have an auction for a lower one, it's a higher one kind of offset it, it'll be right at 40. If you look at our current customers, you can see that the majority of our current customers will be on the higher end, and it's going to be 50-50. The 3 to 12 is about 50%, and then we got about another 50% for all of the 20. So with varying rate, we could still stay at that 40, but it would make up for it with a higher package rate. On 500 is that word on there, that we have the ability to go 500 or maybe even higher. If we have something like that, with 60 or something, and then we had 100, it's 20. And then
there's not going to be a 20.
And then
there's not going to be a $20.
Well, even if it's a $40 one and a higher one, and that makes sense. But if we had that option that we could offset it, then, you know, every two customers, one lower, one higher, would be the same as 140.
Correct.
Then the race in that proposal, we had gone back and forth a couple times. That was just where we stopped. One of the ones we had talked to on the, and we talked about this before, on the Toronto stuff, there's if you go above 100, there's a $100 radio unlock, and it's the 190 for that radio. There's more involved in that. But that's when we had talked about doing that one. I think we had talked about $35 for the wholesale rate for that one. Right in that ballpark. That was where that proposal went forward with the 250. We were just, that was honestly to give a really clear picture to show just what the payoff would be, what the ROI was. That was the only really goal in that. So that was middle of a couple different cars. There was a couple revisions of that afterwards, or before that, you could use at that point. But that would have been, that part would have come up with discussion. Yeah. Well, that part makes sense too. To always stick with the 40 as a baseline for the return on investment. I did that individually, but without a higher package even, then the return on investment is still going to be always that low. But having the higher package would still be remnant to have. We could take that hit because then we think you're the ones that are liable for that price. So even if we only get it for 40 and we sell it for, say, 55 for 250 megabits, but we had another price package that more people are going to want to buy just because of how the dating are now for people that play games or anything like that. They're going to push for higher costs, and these guys work a lot anyway. There's a lot of people, there's businesses that will do it. The high package fees will let us have the ability to offset that price. And then we can make a lower price when you guys still charge you 40. But we need higher back. We can't just sit with one thing.
You know, it sounds good. I guess Warren and Jerry too. But I mean, we really should. I'd love to get you guys a commitment to come back to like a workshop where we can sit down and figure this kind of stuff out. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. The PUD is in the midst of a major project at Konkanelli right now. Could be between $4 to $5 million. That's a major fiber build for us. And I hope you guys can pick up every one of those you can to make it worthwhile.
We're all born and raised.
Yeah.
We go here as his forest and our thinkers. So we're not outside.
I don't think that at all. Yeah.
No, I get that.
I do want to say that if the wireless goes away, these guys are going away. It's 70% of their business. They're not going to survive on Coffin Alley. That's nice.
We also have wholesale market.
Yeah.
Well, you think all that's going away?
We're talking, you have backup. But the businesses as they are right now would be done, and a lot of them wouldn't survive. You want to see how many business fronts, though? The reason, they guys have very different business models. And that's one big consideration as well. James is very different from Cody. And some of the outriders, too. Some of them will actually sell at cost. And Cody have customers direct cost because we do manage services. The internet's the conduit that we get to that point. there's a lot of complexity there over just these things. So yeah, workshop, excellent idea. And any of this, it's just trajectory. We can figure out something small.
Well, that's why we need to get everybody in a room that can work in everybody, because, and I'm maybe speaking a little ahead of schedule here, but I'm just saying in my mind, I mean, it works that way that you're all different, but we need to make sure that if we do something and put our necks way the hell out there on ratepayer dime, but
yeah,
we need to make sure it's going to work.
Yeah, well, the consensus. You need to, again, those are your customers. So at the end of the day, it's not the people out, you know, the end user, it's these guys. And so if you guys can work well with them.
Well, it's everybody. Yeah. I mean, everybody pays a bill. I mean,
yeah, well, yeah, I know. This is the first stop. So yeah.
Right.
17 year.
Oh, I know. I've been with Bill for 17 years.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere.
But yeah, they're motivated to figure it out. So it's going to happen. All right. Works out.
I invested, yeah, for 4 years of my life as a man.
And I can't guarantee any, I mean, we can't guarantee anything coming out of a workshop, but we need to get all this down. And I totally get it, because I've had lots of discussions. Well, neighbors have cleaned out. Usually my internet's having problems. I call them all the time. So we talk a lot. But I'm just saying that I think it's a good, something we can sit down when Ron and John and Tim and everybody in this room, and we can just have a workshop and say, okay, what's going to work? What isn't going to work? I can't guarantee that we can move forward, but at least we can figure out what's going to happen.
No, I just have a couple comments, you know, to Greg's point about needing the coverage and competition to make the county work, you know, but we can't do it at a loss.
That's the hard thing.
You know, that's...
We don't want to become one of those, but yeah, where we just lose money all the time.
Yeah. The other one is, you know, I look at stranded costs and stuff as the other spaces become more competitive, because I sit and live right next to a Leo ground station, and I look at that thing, all 4 dishes were moving yesterday. And so what is that going to do to the dynamic?
Well, and the one thing that's key to mind, the county is not all. So Bill, we did those numbers, and these were way different than what was happening up north. So you're going to get different stories where you're only going to taste of what they did in the aggregate. This is a city county, and there's a lot of demographics and a lot of things going on. They're so hard. And so just looking at the big pictures, I tend to get trapped around the world sometimes, right up here and now, here and there. This is what's happening, not the campus, not. And so, yeah, we'll do the whole big picture review way out.
Hey, Warren, do you have anything to add? I don't want to leave you out here.
Oh, thanks, Scott. Yeah, I really appreciate you guys taking the time to come and provide comment on this, and appreciate all the analysis that you've put together and shared with us. I think there's a lot of information here for the board to kind of think through and figure out, you know, what, if any, next steps we want to take. I think a workshop sounds like a good idea, especially not having John or Ron in the room today makes me feel a little bit like we're flying blind a little bit. But yeah, I think when I heard one of the speakers talk about, performance targets and things like that, I think there's maybe a really interesting conversation to have there about sort of, you know, if the PUD is going to take steps to, you know, reinvest in the wireless network, what could be our expectations in terms of subscribers? Because, you know, I'm still pretty new in this position, but every month it's just been going down, you know, and I think just as a, you know, someone with a fiduciary responsibility to the district, you know, my mind constantly goes to like, okay, well,